Thank you. Very much. Thank you, Pastor, for coming to Israel. And really, we have been blessed to have you in our churches and our homes. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank you all because you gave me this opportunity to come here and share God's heart toward Israel, or the Jews and the Arabs of this land. And I'd like to thank God for my wife, Christine, because she is walking with me all this journey since we got saved 20 years ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Today I will share with you about the end of times and the coming back of Jesus, how we see it from our region. And in the evening, I will share with you something different. I will bring you some testimonies about my personal life and about our ministry, about our media ministry. I will share with you how the Lord changed me as an Arab to start loving the Jews, and how the Lord healed the enmity and the hatred between us, and how the Lord also reconciled us together as the sons of Abraham. If you like to hear what is happening in Israel this day, I like to invite you in the evening to come and be with us. Amen? Hallelujah. As all of you know, these days the church is really interested to know when Jesus will come back. This is part of what we sing. It's part of how we worship and how we preach and how we pray. I remember since I got saved, I was 18 years old. And I remember that woman in the church that she prayed every hour almost. Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. This is the heart of the church. Amen? We want to see Jesus coming back. True? Are you ready for that? Praise God. So this lady, she prayed, Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. And I was there one time, and I thought, please wait. We need to get married first, and then he will come back. What's happened? Praise God, I got married, and after 1 year of marriage, I start to pray, Jesus, come back. Forgive me, my wife. It's just... So for sure, Jesus, when he taught us about his coming back, he didn't just left it open. Yes, he gave us some signs. And today, I believe, with the Lord's help, and I believe that I will show you some of these signs that Jesus spoke about them. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 23. And I like to ask forgiveness from all my English speakers here to forgive me about my weak English, but if you accept me in love, you can carry it. Matthew chapter 23. And I will read verse 39. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We are reading what Jesus gave us as a sign. He spoke actually to Jerusalem. You can find that in verse 37. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. So Jesus now is giving us the first sign when he will come back. He's speaking to Jerusalem. You will never see me again until you say. So there is sign. And usually when Jesus spoke to Jerusalem, he didn't spoke to the city, to the stones, to the beautiful places there. He spoke to the people of Jerusalem, and he meant by this, he spoke to the Jewish nation in that time. So Jesus connected his coming back when the Jews, the people of Jerusalem, cry out and say, come back. You will never see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I am an Arab. I'm a Christian Arab. But I know God's word. And I know that Jesus loves his own people. Yes, they rejected him. And this was the open door for us as in Gentiles to receive him and to be saved through faith. But Jesus, again, he gave us a key word that the nation of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, they need to ask him to come back. Today, what we know from the Jews that they are anti-Jesus, anti-Christ. If you come to our country, instead calling Jesus Yeshua in Hebrew, that means salvation, they called him Yeshu. And Yeshu means that his name and his memory were going to be destroyed. That's what Jews of today believe about Jesus, Yeshua. But Jesus telling us here that one day Jerusalem will cry out and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then he will come. So, as I can understand from my Arabic Bible, that Jesus will come first when the Jews will call him back. That means we need to prepare ourselves for time, salvation of the Jews in the land. Second thing, you can read it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So he starts first that Jerusalem will call him. Second, the gospel should reach all nations. And then the end will come. So this is the second sign. The gospel should reach every nation. And actually what happened that time? That the gospel went out from Jerusalem toward Europe. And if you can, brothers, show me the first picture. Yes. As you can see here, how the gospel went from Jerusalem to Europe, England. The gospel changed the whole countries. They changed their understanding. The gospel influenced their daily life. And then the believers who got saved in England, they came here to the U.S. to have freedom in worship. True. They came here to America just to have freedom in worship. And then the gospel entered America. And thank God for the big revivals that happened here in your nation. While we are driving here in the streets of Grooves, we can see almost each corner there is a church. And this is blessing. This is the influence of the gospel. You cannot see that in our country. You cannot see that in the whole Middle East. But the influence of the gospel, when the gospel entered these countries, it brought freedom, it brought blessings, financial blessings, spiritual blessings. The gospel changed your nation. And it went from the U.S., as you can see that, surrounding the globe, to Asia and India. And today, as we know, the biggest revivals happen in the whole world is happening there. And you know, since 2,000 years ago until today, this wave of the gospel hitting each country, changing each country, changing people, changing mentalities, changing traditions, because the power of the gospel so strong can influence people. But the problem, when the gospel tried to enter the Arabic countries, and if you give me the second picture, please. All these red countries that you can see in red, this is the Arabic Islamic countries. The gospel since Jesus' time until today never succeed to enter these countries. What do we believe? It's a huge wave. What do we believe? That the gospel is good for everyone. The people who live in these countries, for a reason, they rejected the gospel. For a reason, they didn't open their hearts and their countries for the gospel that we do believe that it brings life. They rejected the life for a reason. And maybe you want to know why the Arabic countries of today and until today, they refuse the gospel of Christ. To understand that, we need to go back to the roots. We are speaking about something happened 4,000 years ago. It's not a political issue that started 60 or 70 years ago. This is a spiritual problem that I want you to see it how I see it from my point of view and how I do believe God see it too. And let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15 to understand what's happened there that still influence our nation today. Genesis chapter 15. And I will read verse 5. God, he took Abraham outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So God promised Abraham that his seed were going to be like the stars of heaven. And the problem that happened there, that this promise had been delayed for years. Sometimes today we pray and we won't answer after 5 minutes. But in that day, people who have been waiting for God's promises for years. And this promise that the seed of Abraham are going to be like the stars of heaven have been delayed. So as you know, Sarah, she loves her husband, Abraham, and she felt very, very sad that she didn't succeed to bring him a child. So she tried to help God. She tried to help him, as usually we do. She told him, Abraham, you can read that in Genesis chapter 16. And verse 2, so she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So actually what Sarai did, she tried to help God to fulfill his promise. And she told him, Abraham, you know, I understand that God promised you, but maybe he have better choice for you. Look, we have our meat servant, beautiful, beautiful woman. Her name is Hagar. I don't care, just you take her and sleep with her, and you can get a child, and you can build for us a family. And then Abraham looked to Hagar like this, you know, I think you are right. I like your idea. First time he liked her ideas. And that's what happened. Hagar became pregnant and she brought to this world a child, his name Ishmael. Ishmael means in Hebrew, God have heard me. And as you know, God told Abraham, sorry for all your plans, but this is not my plan. When I promised you through Sarah, not through Hagar. And as you know, the Lord blessed Sarah with a child, and she brought a child, and she named him Isaac. But now we have two brothers, two sons of Abraham. The oldest, his name Ishmael, and the youngest, his name Isaac. One time, Sarah found Ishmael mocking. And in Genesis chapter 21, I want to read something there for you. And you can read verse 10. And she say to Abram, get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. I want you now to understand what is happening. This is the source. This is the root of every problem we know about it today. I want you to think about this child, Ishmael. That he is the son of Abraham, the same like Isaac. But Sarah in that time called him the son of the slave. She told him, get rid out of that slave woman's son. Why? Because the son of the slave woman cannot or never share the inheritance with my son. So the Bible say, verse 14. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Actually, what's happening? Now, Abraham himself is kicking out his older son, Ishmael. The son that shares with Isaac the same blood. Isaac, we know about him that he is son of Abraham. But Ishmael, in that time, they called him the son of the slave. I want you to imagine that people called you the son of the slave. This is something that can follow you for years and years. In the Bible, we know people from the names of their fathers. Son of Abraham, son of Isaac, son of Jacob. But Ishmael was called the son of the slave. What happened there is spirit of rejection controlled that young boy. He was kicked out from his father's house to the desert of Beersheba. When you come to Israel and you are welcome, always welcome, I like you to come and go to the desert of Beersheba to understand what that means. It means death. With no hope. No water, no food. I want you to imagine that young man, what he thought about his father. How can my father send me to my death? He felt rejected. When he was living there, he thought maybe about his family back home. He felt lonely. Maybe he asked him, what wrong I did? I want you to understand that rejection can destroy nations. Rejection can destroy families. Rejection can destroy marriage, churches. And that's what happened to Ishmael that time. He was rejected. He was kicked out from his home. And usually people experience rejection. The first thing they do, they become angry. They become angry. Hatred. Maybe he was thinking about his brother. Oh, maybe now my father is just enjoying his relationship with my brother and I'm alone here in the desert. Maybe he thought about the time when these two young children played together. Maybe he thought about the inheritance that he lost. Say, why? Why is this happening to me? What's happened to Ishmael, my brothers, I want to tell you, it still influenced his seed until today. The Arabs, that they are the sons of Ishmael, the seed of Ishmael, until today, they feel rejected. And this spirit still controlling our nation because something happened 4,000 years ago. It's a spirit. I want to tell you three things happened to Ishmael when he was kicked out of his home. First thing, he lost his brother. Imagine someone he lost for generations, his brother. And I believe this is the main reason that the Arabs and the Jews still fight together until today because they lost the relationship of brotherhood. When we speaking about the problems of Israel and the Middle East, we think about it politically. But if you read your Bible, you think they are the same family. The Arabs and the Jews, they are sons of Abraham. They have the same blood. But this is the strongest, the hardest, the longest family war happened ever in history because of rejection. So Ishmael lost his brother. Secondly, he lost his father. You know, today 99% of the Arabs are Muslims. And because they lost their father, if you study Islam, Islam is fatherless religious. They don't have something called father. Not heavenly father, nothing about fatherhood. Why? Because they lost their father back 4,000 years ago. When they lost their father, third thing, they lost the God of their father. So Ishmael lost his brother, lost his father, and they lost the God of Abraham, the God of their father. And this is the main point why 99% of the Arabs, sons of Ishmael, worshipping other God than God of Abraham, because they lost it there. You know why the Islam have been born? Because someone came to that nation and understood what they need. They need to be accepted. They need to feel love. And you know, if you read the Quran, it's written about the story of Abraham when he brought as sacrificial his son Isaac. We know it from the Bible. But in the Quran written that Abraham brought his son Ishmael, not Isaac, Ishmael, as sacrificial to God, but God didn't kill him. He sent him a lamb. You know what that means? That means people, your father Abraham rejected you. He tried to kill you, to sacrifice you. But God saved you because you are important. You have been rejected from your father Abraham, but God accepted you. Can you imagine how we lost from the kingdom of God 1 billion people? You know why? Because of rejection. So today, if you want to understand the Arabic mentality, the Islamic mentality, you need to study what's happened there in the Bible. I remember, maybe a few months ago, I forgot exact time, when they put in the in a newspaper, some cartoons about their prophet. And you know what happened in Europe? People start to burn houses, burn cars. Something terrible happened there. And I was so wondered to see that. Why? Because just 3 months before, the same cartoons was in Arabic Egyptian newspaper and nobody cares about it. But now the same cartoons are in Christian country. Everybody now is angry. Why? Because of rejection. Anger comes because of rejection. And I want to tell you another story happened in the family of Abraham that can explain rejection for you more. And it's the story of Jacob and Esau. And you find it in Genesis chapter 27, please, if you open your Bible with me. You know that story that how Jacob took the blessing from his oldest brother because he sold it for him. He was hungry, so he sold it. Because some beans he gave him to eat. And when Esau came, we are speaking about two brothers, but they are from the same father and from the same mother. When Esau found that he lost everything, look at 27 and verse 41. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." You see? He felt rejected. He asked his father, "Nothing left for me." He said, "Nothing." And because of that, he wanted to kill his brother from the same father and the same mother. And you know, chapter 28, read from 6 to 9, please. Now Esau learned that Isaac has blessed Jacob and has sent him to Padan Aram to take a wife from there. And that when he blessed him, he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram Esau then realized, be careful, Esau realized how displeasing the Canaanite woman were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalah, the sister of Nebaioth, and the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. You know what is happening? The family of Abraham was broken since Isaac and Ishmael because of rejection. And now again, the family of Isaac have been broken another time because of rejection. And see what Esau did. He went and he married the daughter of Ishmael. Actually, he's trying to tell his father, I know what's happening between you and between your brother Ishmael, but I want to marry his daughter. Actually, they are putting more fire and more hatred of what happened there. My brothers, can you understand what is happening these days? Rejection still influenced the Arabs and the Jews until today. Still influenced them until today. If we look to the problem politically, we cannot understand. But I want to tell you that Jesus, our Savior, He wants to enter these countries because we do believe that the gospel went out from Jerusalem and it will come back to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the Gentiles will provoke the Jews to jealousy. Can you imagine that? Do you think the Lord will use the Chinese people, with all due respect, to provoke the Jews to jealousy? Do you believe the Lord will use the European people or the Americans? Maybe, but I have something else to tell you. You know who will provoke the sons of Isaac to jealousy? From what they should be jealous? Because we have better cars than them? Or better homes? Or better what? Buildings? We should provoke them to jealousy because what do we believe? And who is our God? And I do believe the closest nation, the closest people to the Jews of this day, in this day, they are the Arabs who live in the land of Israel. Your pastor saw how our home is just door by door with other Jewish men. We are living together. We are eating together. We know each other. But these Jews will never come back to Jesus. And then they cry, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. If this circle didn't complete yet and still 1 billion people, they don't know anything about Christ. That's why I do believe this is the times of Ishmael. We as a church, we need to go back to the desert where this man spent all his life wounded. We do believe that this is the time to go to the desert and call Ishmael, come back to your home. Come back. When this happened, you will see millions of people, millions of Muslims meeting Jesus. And I will tell you, my brother, this is happening today. In our Middle East, we see Arabs accepting Christ from all over. And I want to tell you something happened to me. I was in a conference. And in that conference, you know, there is a lot of Arab Muslims who received Christ was in that conference. And many of them, they gave their testimony how they accepted Christ. The first one say, I was sleeping and Jesus appears to me in a dream. And he told me that I should follow him. Other man, he say, I was in my living room. Suddenly, a man full of shinies, he's shiny. And he told him, I am Jesus. And unbelievable, maybe 20 people. You know, myself, maybe 90% of any Muslim who got saved and believe in Christ, they told us the same story. Jesus appears to us in dreams or in visions. Believe me, my brother. 90% of what any Muslim I know who got saved through that way. Jesus appears to them in their dreams. Jesus himself appears there for them in their visions. When I came back to my town, you know, I was praying. I said, Jesus, what is going on? We are your children. We pray, we sing, we dance, but you never appear to us. True? Maybe he appeared to you, but at least not for me. Okay, no problem. I told him, what is going on? Why you don't appear for us like them? And you know what he answered me? And what he told me, this influenced my life until this day. He told me, Yusuf, I appear for them because you disappear. I appear for them because you disappear. What that mean? The church of these days, we just know bad things about Arabs. We are not interested in reaching them. We connect the name of sons of Isaac with terror and death. But I want to tell you, my brother, if these people receive Christ, they are so faithful more than anybody else because they are ready to die of what they believe. So Jesus told me, I appear because you disappear. Jesus waiting for us to go and tell them. But because we don't care, we are involved in our church things or politics or I don't know what, and we don't care about 1 billion souls that the devil succeed to take them out of the kingdom of God, and we disappear. You know, our mission is to go and telling people about Christ. This is the greatest mission, true? If you read in Acts, when Jesus appeared to Paul, he told him, Paul, you go to that man Hananiah, and he will tell you what you should do. Jesus, you already appeared to him, so tell him what he should do. Oh, this is not my business. This is the church business to tell people. So Paul went to Hananiah and he told him what he should do and he received Christ. So reaching out to people, it's not God's business. It's our business as a church. But if God wants to depend on us going to the Muslims, going to the Arabs, and then he will come back after all of them received, or most of them received Christ, I can promise you this will happen another 20 million years maybe. Because we don't care. So Jesus appears because we disappear, and he actually trying to do our job. He's trying to evangelize instead of us. Because we don't have time for them. We don't have time for them. Maybe we don't like them. I know this is the problem, especially of this nation. I had it before. I used to have hatred against the Jews in my life and against the Muslims also. I will tell you about it in the evening. But Jesus is looking for this nation as a human beings that they have been rejected. And they want somebody just to go and tell them, come back. And I want to tell you, my brother, if these people receive Christ, they understand that receiving Christ here, for example, in America, this is something natural. In our country, or in their countries in the Middle East, when people receive Christ, your life is dangerous. You cannot say, I believe in Christ, come on, baptize me. That means you are putting your life to death. I remember a story happened a few years ago when one young man was studying the Bible through correspondence, secretly. And his name was Ahmed something. Half of the country there have Ahmed. But anyway, some believers sent him, you know, these study materials. And instead of reaching that young man, 19 or 20 years old, because there is another man living in the same city, his name Ahmed also something. So the other man received that letter. And he knew that this is not for him, this is belong to the other one. So he called him and said, come, I want to speak with you. And he told him, listen, I know that this material is for you. I know. You have 2 weeks or 1 week. I forgot really the details. If you don't bring me $2,000, I am speaking about a lot of money in our country. If you don't bring me $2,000, I will put this letter in the date in the gate of the mosque. And you know what that means. And this young man was so troubled, you know. He called our believers, the people that were in contact with him, and they went and they prayed with him in their own car. Thank God for that beautiful building the Lord gave you. But I want to tell you, in some places in our countries, the church is the car. People pray inside their cars. They do Bible study in their cars, in their vans, because they burn their homes because of their faith. They threaten them. So this young man, when these people went and they prayed for him, after 2 weeks he came back to that man, old man, and he told him, uncle, you know, in our culture we call adults, you know, in the name of uncle for respect. He told him, uncle, I don't have $2,000 to pay you. And if you want to put this letter on the gate of the mosque, I don't care. Just do it. I don't care. And this man looked deep on his eyes and he told him, son, if your faith wasn't right, you will never be ready to die for it. Just take your letter. Go back home. You understand what he said? You see how they think? If your faith wasn't right, you will never be ready to die for it. Muslims and Arabs, they understand what the meaning of following Jesus. And believe me, they will be ready to die for Jesus. The Lord is using our small church, the New Covenant Church in Mount Carmel in Haifa, to have outreach for these Muslims and for these Arabs. We started that church 4 years ago with 3 people. Today we are over 120 people. And you know what happened? We have people from Catholic backgrounds, different backgrounds, but I remember that day when Christine and I were praying for the Muslims. And I will tell you the story later, but I remember that we say, God, we open our hearts and the doors of our church for them to come. And the Lord saved a young man from Muslim background. I will show you the picture later in the evening. So I want you to be in the evening, please. And this man, when he received Christ, you know, we in our church, we came from different cultural backgrounds. So people used to worship, hallelujah, hallelujah, I love you. This young man, when he got saved, he was full of joy because he understood what happened to him. He was in the darkness, now he's in the light. So while we are worshiping, this young man suddenly, nobody taught him anything. Nobody told him anything. He started to jump, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all these Christians looking like this to him. Who thinks that? Himself. But because the joy of the Lord in him, he received and he received true salvation. He was so happy. Like somebody was dying and now he's alive. You think he will do? Thank you, Lord. He was dying. That's why he came to the church and he just start worshiping and shouting for God. You know what's happened? This young man provoked our Christian Arabs to jealousy. Believe me. Today, the whole worship in our church have been changed because they saw what can God do in this young Muslim guy. I want to encourage you, my brothers. Maybe you love Israel, and I love Israel. Maybe you love the Jews. I love the Jews. Maybe you pray for their salvation. I pray too. But Jesus will not come back until every nation receives Christ. That's what the Bible says. And then the Jews shall call him, come back. Until this happened, this is your time and my time to go and reach them. Go and think about them. And I do believe your pastor and your leaders, when they came to our country, they really blessed us because one thing we felt in them, we felt accepted. We felt accepted. And I do believe that the Lord is using you as a First Baptist Church here in Texas to sow a seed. Maybe you cannot reach Arabs, but at least you are with us. I want you to pray for us. I want you to pray for me and my wife and my family. Because the Lord is near. And if the Bible said that 2,000 years ago, today we can see He already in the door outside. I want to thank you for coming here and listening to me. And I want to encourage you again. In the evening, we will share with you how we do outreach for these Arabs. Thank you, Pastor. May the Lord bless you all. Thank you.